Blog Talk Radio.
Grace and peace to everybody. This is Brother Carson here on Mad Dads Radio. You can catch us on blogtalkradio.com/Mad Dads. We have a great topic for you today. We're going to be talking about preparation for a relationship. Are you prepared for a relationship? We're going to talk about different relationships, relationship problems, what type of relationship wants to have, depending on those factors. And then we're going to have people calling in and giving us their two cents about relationships and, you know, where they fit in into their relationship. But first, before we get into that, I want to get into the schedule as far as where you guys can catch the Mad Dads going around. You can catch them at the Metro Trends, and make sure you guys catch Damian, Leroy, and Gil. They're going to be riding the Peace Bus all over the metro area. If you come see us and you need some help with our services, make sure you go sign up with the Mad Dads and, you know, make sure that you get logged in with us so we can go ahead and get you guys plugged into our system and get you all the help that you need. You know, it's a pleasure for us to help other people. Also, make sure you guys check out Pedro and Billy over on 625 Robert Street North, St. Paul, Minneapolis. In St. Paul, Minnesota. That will be tomorrow at 6 p.m. Again, at 625 Robert Street North, St. Paul. Pedro and Billy from the Mad Dads. They're going to be security for the work. For the World AIDS. So if you guys want to be doing that event, make sure you guys check out Mad Dads over there. It's going to be great. Also on Thursday around 10 to 12 at MTCS School, they're going to be having a assembly there. It's going to be at Target on Lake Street. VJ Smith, the man and the president and founder of the Minneapolis Mad Dads, will be there along with Ken and Pedro from the Mad Dads. So make sure you guys go check them out at those times. Also, the Cops and Richmond program over at Emily Gray, at number 300 at the Industrial Boulevard. You can see Gil and Latrice. Make sure you guys holler at them. Just make sure that you guys come and support us. You know, we're going to be having a we're going to be fundraising pretty soon, and we need some supporters out there. So if you guys appreciate our work and you want to add some contributions to our program here at Mad Dads, to our place here, please definitely go ahead and you can donate and or you can just sign up with us. We'll still help no matter what. We are about helping and healing our people in our neighborhood. So definitely make sure you guys come and help help out if you can, or you guys just show some love, show some support with us. But we got a great topic. We're going to be talking about, are you prepared for a relationship? What is relationship? Will be the first question, will be a good question. And relationship, according to me, will be any type of personal and intimate understanding with one other person or a group of people. If it is, you know, if you can have a relationship as friendship, it will be counted as relationship. You know, the relationship between a mother and son, relationship between a father and son, relationship between, you know, boss and staff. All of those will count as relationship because it will count, it will have that personal connection, that personal knowingness of one another will count as a relationship because you will know another person, you know, either to be close with them or not have a relationship at all. But we have right here, I'm going to be reading quotes and excerpts from John C. Maxwell's Winning with People, his book he has here, Discover the People Principle That Works for You Every Time. So we're going to be reading from there. We're going to read from the first chapter, the readiness question, are we prepared for relationships? So if you definitely want to join in the conversation, you can call anytime, add your two cents, because even those are valuable, at 1-347-215-9262. But the first chapter, it says, This is John C. Maxwell speaking. So I quote, I spent the first 26 years of my career as a pastor. I know of no other profession as demanding or intense when it comes to working with people. Individuals and ministries are called upon to lead, teach, coach, counsel, and comfort people every age and stage of life, from the cradle to the grave. We're with them during many of the most joyful moments of their lives, such as the day they marry, and we're called upon during the darkest hours, such as when they try to save a marriage from a painful divorce, experience a child's tragic death, or look for answers as they face their own imminent deaths. Over the years, I've learned quickly to recognize people who are struggling relationally. They come in all ages, shapes, and sizes. Sometimes when I was counseling an unmarried person who was just couldn't seem to get a good relationship, he would lament about being alone and how much he wanted to get married. The sad thing was that instead of focusing on getting married, some people should be working on their emotional readiness, the basic ability to build a healthy relationship. Let's face it, not everyone has the skills to initiate, build, and sustain good, healthy relationships. I really like what Mr. Maxwell put there. He said that instead of this person focusing on emotional readiness, he was too busy, worried about being in another relationship. And we know that instead of starting a new relationship or any relationship for that matter, we have to make sure that we are prepared emotionally for those type of things that relationship brings on when we have that. But we have VJ Smith on the line. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing really, really good, Alex. I want to thank you, man, for keeping us going, man, and just, keeping Blog Talk Radio going. You're really, you and Sharika and Gil are the pioneers of Mad Dad's Blog Talk Radio. My hat goes off to you guys, and I want to thank you for what you've done and all the work that you put into Blog Talk Radio. Relationships,
thanks,
to me, are something that we really have to work at, and we really have to work hard at, because what I found out is that relationships are something that you have to be prepared for. A lot of people say they're ready for a relationship, but they
uh-huh.
don't have the skills, and those are the kind of things that I want you to be able to talk about to our listeners today, to talk about all those different things. And our John C. Maxwell has talked about relationships, and he's really gave us a good blueprint for the kind of things that you have to do. In our staff meeting today, we uh-huh. used this topic, and we're kind of taking our staff meeting topics and bringing them right to Blog Radio, because it's been so exciting for us to be able to share a lot of wonderful things, you know. And so relationships are critical and are important. It's the only thing that really keeps an organization floating is good relationships. And it's really the only thing that keeps a community floating is a great relationship.
That's right. That's right. One thing I've noticed was, when we talk about these type of things, especially on Blog Talk Radio or, just talking to random people, rather, you know, when they hear people, especially of my age or younger, talk about relationship, they would automatically have this made up mind that I would automatically not know what I'm talking about. And, I've never been married or anything like that. I'm only 22. But I've had been able to give a grown man marriage advice based off of what the Word of God says about a man and his role and, his wife and things like that. So, just me having the truth on my side, having me speak the truth and having me speak from the Word of God, I was able to help this man get some clarity about what he should be able to do, as far as how to treat his wife. And he was very grateful. He was shocked that I was so young and I knew that stuff, but it was only because I knew the Word of God. And that's the thing, because I kept telling him to pray for preparation. Because stuff like this will happen, especially when you are in a relationship. Would you agree so?
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that, you know, one of the things is that you do know what a bad relationship is, because of the 22 years of your life, you witness people in your family, people in the community that have had bad relationships. You have
That's
the opportunity
right.
to step back and be observant, and now you can give feedback. I think it's really, you know, sometimes we look at young people and say, there's nothing you could do to help me, and it's just not true. Our young people are watching us every day, watching everything we do. They're watching us be negative in our relationships. They're watching us be selfish in our relationships. They are watching us behave in manners that they're looking and saying, that's not what I want.
Right.
That's not what I want in a relationship. That's not what I want in a companion. That's not what I want in somebody that says they care about me. And they're able to take that and then give you advice on how you're performing and how you're behaving. I think daughters and sons are very good at giving advice to their mothers and fathers. Look, this is what I see. Why is it like that? I see this in other families, and I come home, and you guys act like this. Well, some people aren't really ready. They may have kids. It doesn't make you ready for a relationship. You may have grandkids. Still doesn't make you ready for a relationship. There's some things, when I say a relationship, I mean a positive relationship. Sure, Alex, you can give advice. I think it's important that you continue to give advice. And to those that will listen, I believe that if an elder is not willing to listen to the young, then you're not really an elder yet, because you're not prepared to listen to those that want to hear what you have to say. So I think it's important that we have an opportunity to let our kids speak and give out advice to us.
Definitely. And obviously we know who we should be listening to as far as older people should. They should already know who would be able to give them some critical advice. Like myself, I'm a man of God, and I like to reference a lot of things to the Bible, because it's the only rational thing I can do as far as my decision-making. And unfortunately, we don't have too many young people who's doing that, or older people, for that matter, that I've talked to who's doing that. And it's not like they don't want to anything, but a lot of times just they don't know to do that. And when I'm talking, you know, like when I was talking to this guy, this man here, I was referencing the Bible a lot. And a lot of things made sense to him, because he was saying, yeah, I don't know why I didn't think about that. Or I don't know why I don't reference the Bible when this stuff, you know, it's because it's not instilled, you know, in us to do so. But I would like to encourage everyone, especially if you are in a relationship, more specifically in a relationship like with a significant other. If you are in a relationship, I would suggest that anything when you guys come to like a non-agreement, or, you know, an argument, but not a fight, but an argument. An argument is okay, a fight is not, you know. But like when you come to an argument, you know, I suggest that if you two can sit down and reference the Word of God, you can fix your problem right then and there. And you know, and base your relationship off the words of the Father. And I think that would be a great thing. So, you know, that's just one of my advice as far as things I would do when, you know, if I get into a relationship that's serious enough to where I might consider marriage. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I know what you mean. And you know, one of the things when you look in John C. Maxwell's book, there's a number of things that he says that you have to do. Could you go to that part of the book where that first chapter, there's some things that you have to do to be ready for a relationship. And what are those things?
One of those things are learning the five principles. Mr. Maxwell talks about the five principles. He says that, and I quote, "It takes rational, healthy people to build great relationships. It all starts there. I believe there are fundamental building blocks that makes people ready for relationships. They answer to readiness questions. The essential components are contained in the following five people principles. The lens principle. Who are we determines how we view others. The mirror principle. The first person I examine is myself. The pain principle. Hurting people hurt people and are easily hurt by them. The hammer principle. Never use a hammer to swat a fly off someone's head. The elevator principle. We can lift people up or take people down in our relationships. And that's really interesting that he noted these down. The lens principle is really, I really like that because I've noticed that those who are in bad relationships, like maybe the boyfriend or husband is not as trusting as, you know, a person should be, doesn't have too much trust in his significant other. It's because that he view other people as cheating, you know, liars and, you know, backstabbers because he may view himself as the same thing if he's not one himself. That's interesting. Have you ever seen those type of instances happen, VJ?
What kind of instance was that now?
I was saying the lens principle. He was talking about how we determine who we are determines how we view other people. And I was saying I've noticed in some bad relationships, the husband or the boyfriend will be not as trusting to his significant other because he would view that person as maybe a liar or a cheater because he may view himself as a liar and cheater.
That's true. That's true. Absolutely. You know, the mirror principle is something that many of us are afraid to deal with because we don't want to look at ourselves. In a relationship, we only look at other people. We go, look at you, look at you, look at you, look at you. But so many times we need to look at ourselves and go, what about me? You know, so many times I have found out that when I look at this organization, the Minneapolis chapter of Mad Dads, I look at me and then I look at the staff and the people that work here. I look at Alex. How is Alex doing with our grip and our young people and how is he performing and what impact does my leadership have on Alex? I'm not always looking at why is Alex making mistakes and why is this not working for Alex, but how is my leadership having an impact? Because the mirror principle says I look at me first. I look at me first. And I've seen so many leaders in organizations say it's not my fault. I pay people to do their job and they're not doing it well. But did you look at yourself and did you look at how you're leading the people in your organization? And I think the mirror principle is critical for so many of us in families, in organizations, in our community. Anything that you're leading, you need to look at yourself first. I think it's critical.
Definitely, definitely. Caller, we have a new caller on the line. I'm going to go ahead and click you on. I would suggest if you can get to a quieter place, that would be great. But we have a caller on the line. This is Mad Dads Radio. Who is this?
This is Pedro.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing good, man. What's going on, Alex?
Oh, nothing much, man. We're talking about preparation for relationships. And we were talking about the lens principle. We determine who we are by the way we view other people. And we were talking about the mirror principle. The first person I must examine is myself. How do you go about fixing minor situations in your relationship when things get a little rocky? What is one of the things you do to maintain your relationship?
To maintain my relationship, man. Oh man, that's a big harsh word for me, man. Man, I've been working on that for a while, man. You know, I have a great leader, you know, a great role model, you know, by name of VJ Smith, you know, that I call him a dad, you know, that's been working with me tremendous, you know, for about 3.5-4 years. And is continuing working, and right now he's working on marriage counseling with me, and you know, and it's an everyday struggle, but, you know, it's a process, you know, to work on relationship, female relationship, friendship relationships, and sometimes you got to let go of those bad relationships, you know. It's hard, but one thing that you got to let go, you know, because they hurt, you know. They hurt at those, especially the bad friendship relationships, you know. So, you know, and that's one thing that he taught me, you know, that I had to let go of them, you know. They're not good for me, you know. They're not good for the organization, you know, especially if I'm willing to, if I'm the one that's willing to change and people are looking up to me, you know. So,
And I think it's a great thing, Pedro, that you clarify that relationship of any kind is a working process, because oftentimes, too many of the time, we, you know, when something seems like it's going to go right, we don't give it time to make it different, or we give up, or we don't think of it as a process, or more so as a fad. You know what I mean? Like, if this relationship is not going to work, then I'm just going to move on. Well, that's true, but if you're not going to try to make it work to see if it would actually work, then there's no way we can find out what's going to be a real relationship. I just want to let everybody know that I do have the chat line open, so if you cannot call, if you are at working, you can't do too much talking on the phone, or you just don't want to talk on the phone, we do have the chat line open. So you can go ahead and type in a question if you have one. I will see it, and when I will address it. Just want to let people know that. And also, if you want to call in, you can go ahead and call in at 1-347-215-9262. Again, 1-347-215-9262. VJ
and what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say about Pedro and his wife Tammy. They, you know, went through a lot of things. They have two kids now that are growing rapidly, and they've been impacted by their relationship. Pedro went through a lot of drug usages and a lot of stuff that was separated him from the family. And so that relationship had a lot of damage. And one of the things that they did was they seek counseling. They actually did a premarital counseling track, the 12-week track that I have them on that they're about to graduate in 2 weeks, but what's so exciting about that is that they were willing to say, this relationship needs help. This relationship needs a third person to come in. Sometimes it's hard to make a relationship work for you when you're just trying to do it just with you and that other person. Sometimes you need a mediation or a conflict resolution or somebody else to come in that you trust and believe in, that you can share your intimate stuff with, that can help you get through that. And so for Pedro, not only I want him to talk about this a little bit, but because not only did he get clearance in his relationship and did his relationship improve, but some dynamic things happened for his kids based upon the fact that he got counseling for him and his wife. Pedro, would you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, for me, you know, getting clean, you know, I got brought back, you know, with my kids, you know, because my kids were not in my life, you know, I had been separated from them, you know, and, you know, today they're in my life, you know, I'm able to spend time with them, I'm able to go to church with them, you know, we're able to read the Bible, you know, able to go to do outreach with Mad Dad today, and you know, those are things that I'm able to enjoy doing with them, you know, because of the relationship that I'm able to build with them, you know, today that I didn't have with them, you know, because I had pushed them away from my life, you know, so I, you know, as a father, you know, I didn't know how to had that kind of relationship with them, you know.
Right. And see, that's a wonderful thing. And Pedro, I'm proud of you. There's a lot of fathers out there that need to get help to get back with their kids or to make things happen. But you clearly became a true leader I am tremendously, man, excited about what the future brings. I've seen your kids, you know, your kids hit me on Facebook just the other night and said, when do we go back out on the streets again? And I'm just so proud of him, you know, that he actually wants to. He can't wait to do the work and get involved with you to do the kind of work we do. And that's what happens when a son gets connected to his father and they begin to have relationships. That's the kind of stuff. See, relationships are critical. There's so many parents, we go to school, and so many parents say, I can't talk to my dad. He won't listen. He tells me to go somewhere and sit down. And kids have a lot of great things to say. They really do.
Yeah, they do.
Need to start listening to them because they are serious. When it comes to relationships, our kids need us like never before. Because if we don't have a relationship with them, they will find someone else that will give them some negative information and send them in a negative direction.
Exactly. And I wanted to add on to what you said about kids got some really excellent things to say. Because I can remember being online and I think I was on YouTube and it was a question or it was a riddle rather that only little kids was able to answer. But 85% of adults had a hard time answering this question. They failed the question or the riddle. And the riddle was, what can exceed God? What's more powerful than God? If you eat this, then you would die. Rich people need this. Poor people don't have this. And only young people was able to answer it. It also says, what's more powerful than, what's more evil than the devil? A lot of people could not answer this. Adults couldn't answer this. But the kid says the answer is nothing because there's nothing more powerful than God. There's nothing that can exceed over God. If you eat nothing, you will die. Rich people need nothing. Poor people have nothing. So they figure out the riddle quicker and faster than old folks do. And that's that relationship of having God in your life, especially if you have it in your family. We have somebody here on the chat room, Classy Ray. She mentioned that if loves make us strong and laughter make us live longer, then we believe that in a relationship that is truly important, that we can talk with God and everything else is fleshly. Now, she was saying that, she was saying basically that, look, you know, in order for a relationship to be well-rounded and to have a strong relationship, God has to be the centerpiece in that relationship. You know what I mean? And even when these hard times do come along, you know, that love and that laughter and that relationship will stay strong. And those worldly things, those fleshly things, you know, like when we get mad at each other and we want to fight, they will never come to pass because we will never let it allow it to happen because God will be exalting that. So I do appreciate her, Classy Ray, to comment on that one. She also thanks Mad Dads for being here to allow us to air the realness of our thoughts and our feelings to the world. And so we thank you for commenting, Classy Ray. We definitely love to keep having you as a guest in our chat room. If you want to go to our chat room, it's definitely open. It's open for anyone and everyone. Also, if you'd like to give us a call, you can call in at 1-347-215-9262. I want to talk more about these principles of a relationship. The next one we have to talk about is the pain principle. Hurting people hurt people and are easily hurt by them. And that's really that's very simple and very that's a very true statement because, like I hear you guys say all the time, hurt people hurt people, and that's a very true thing because you know how many times have we came encounter with somebody who's, let's say we've been doing outreach, VJ and Pedro, and somebody every once in a while will come to us and they're crying or they're very distraught about their life and what's going on at that particular moment. And they've been in and out of jail because they've been doing these crimes and, you know, they're not getting along with their parents or they're not getting along with their brothers and sisters because they're hurting them because they're hurt and they don't have a good relationship or somebody to start a good relationship with because they don't have that principle of looking into the mirror, and they also have a problem with how they view themselves. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, what I think is that, you know, pain is something that we have, as especially as the African-American community, we have not looked at pain as something that needs help, something that needs a solution. Sometimes we look at life as about pain, and sometimes we live our lives thinking that we're going to have pain. It's just a part of what we do. Matter of fact, people say, man, if I don't smoke this cigarette, you ain't going to like what I'm like. If I don't have this drink, you ain't going to like what you're going to see. If I don't, you know, take a hit of this crack, it's going to get ugly up in here. You know what I'm saying? That's how we deal with pain. You know, we deal with pain sometimes, and that's not just black folks, but I'm speaking of the experience that I'm mainly in. Because when I see so many of our people go from the house to the liquor store, go from the crack house to Auntie and Mama and them's house, go from, you know, from the dope man to just destroying their lives, man, I see this happening because of their pain. This is because of pain. You know, I'm hurting. I'm hurting on inside. I refuse to tell you why I hurt. I just got to say something. There's a young man that was sexually abused by someone that he loves. And to this day, he cannot tell anybody who that man was. And to this day, he cannot share with anybody why he has to get so high and why he needs drugs so much. Because to this day, that deep, dark secret cannot be revealed because it's so much pain, even in the point of the pride is distilled in me. I loved that person that molested me. I loved him, but I didn't like what that person did to me. So therefore, in order to keep it quiet and keep it a secret, I need to get high. And so it's hard for me to tell you why I have to get high, because of the deep, dark secret. But there's another young man that I'm working with that his school teacher played with him while he was in class and made him stay after school. And he loved his teacher, though. But he thought that his teacher could only show love in that way, in a sexual way. But it destroyed him, and now he's homeless, and now he lives in a shelter. And why? Everybody wonders, a smart young man such as yourself, why are you in a shelter? And he's in a shelter because he has not been able to get rid of that deep, dark secret, and the pain won't let him go. There's so many in our community, there's so many people in our society that are living with that pain. So the pain principle is a principle that will take you to your grave if you don't figure out a way to get some help. I believe that people need to get with organizations like North Point and other great Southside Clinic and other great organizations that have the kind of culturally specific support that you can get to help you get through your mental issues and to help you get through the pain that you have. And for our parents, you have got to stop overlooking what our kids say. When our kids say they're hurting, or somebody touched me, or uncle did this, or somebody did that, pay attention to that, because that can produce a lifetime of pain to a young person if they turn out to be totally something different than what God put them on this earth for. So pain and the pain principle is very, very serious.
Definitely. And, you know, and I know this to be very true, because pain was one of the things that I have to deal with. You know, even as of just recently, I had to deal with just being heartbroken over the fact that, you know, my mom struggled almost all her life with us, raising us. And now that we're grown, things are a lot easier. But it just annoyed me that I didn't really have a strong father figure, even though I always had a father, but never had a strong figure. He was never a strong guy, but he was just there, and he loved us, which is enough especially for a young boy. But, you know, it's as far as academically and, you know, setting a strong foundation of what a man should be, I didn't learn that from my father, you know, and a lot of times, you know, we didn't get along, and we still, to this day, don't really get along. But that's a lot of pain that was in me, you know, a while back, a few years ago, you know, during high school and all that stuff. And that stuff really got to me. I know a lot of people, you know, do a lot of crime and stuff because, you know, they don't have a father figure and no one ever taught them better. So all they know is what they was taught to do. And it's a hard thing. It's an ugly thing. And that's just a pain. You know, if that pain could be removed, then you got a brand new canvas to work on. You know what I mean? You paint a whole different picture. So, you know, you paint a whole different picture and you can show something a lot more better than what that person, you know, can be. And then we got the principle, the hammer principle. John C. Maxwell says, never use a hammer to swat fly off someone's head. which I would assume that he's talking about overreacting. And you know, let's say you have a situation with your wife, and let's say that maybe she was wrong about something. But instead of attacking and instead of answering and understanding the situation in further details and trying to figure out what happened and where the miscommunication come from, you fly off the handle and expose that. Yeah, you might have been right, but you do it in a more explosive way, in a more shameful way. It can put somebody in shame, or it can make even you look more of a jerk. You know what I mean? Overreaction can definitely put a dent in a relationship. I would definitely say that before anything like that happens, really, 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 you know, control yourself and really get your thoughts in the line. Have that ever happened to you, BJ?
Yeah, that has happened to me. Many of things have happened to me in that consistency in that area. But, you know, the hammer principle, you know, think about this. Sometimes we hit people with something hard when that's not really what they need. You know, a lot of times you need to show how many times you've seen somebody scream at a kid, holler at a kid, and shake a kid when really all the kid really needed was for you to talk to them and show them a little love. Sometimes we hit people too hard with stuff, and we should hit them a different way in a relationship. I can remember times in relationships where somebody, instead of talking to me, they talked to somebody else about what they didn't like about me. And right. I'm sure you've been hurt in that area where you said, why didn't you come to me? I didn't know you didn't like that. Why didn't you say something to me? I didn't know you didn't like that. Why didn't you bring it to me? We're in this relationship. Why are you talking to your girlfriend, or why are you talking to your homies, or why are you talking to people that have no concern or no trust or no value for our relationship about something about us? And then if it gets back to you, it's totally different. The hammer theory is when somebody hits you with something so hard and you're like, wow, what was that? And why couldn't we straighten it out before it got all out in the public, all out in the community? Why couldn't we handle that?
Right, definitely. You know, I like when you said that, you know, they bring it to their girlfriend and stuff like that. I had stuff wrong on Facebook all the time. And I was like, wow, what? That was very childish. And I can remember thinking, you know, of all people, of all places, you go to the world. The internet is considered the world. Once you put it on internet, it's considered international situation. I mean, it's ridiculous to, you know, to do things like that. If me and you have a misunderstanding or argument or something, I would rather for us to work it out than for you to post something online and to have multiple people who may not even know me have a opinion about me and don't know the whole story. They just got your side of the story. That can really put a dent in the relationship. And, you know, I went through that before with an ex-girlfriend. You know, we're good friends now, but at the time, it was really, it got ugly sometimes, you know.
And that can happen, you know, that's the whole hammer theory. And you know, The other theory that we want to talk about is that elevator theory. And the elevator is when you always want to lift somebody up. You really do. I have, you know, many times, Alex, me and you, we have conversations, and one of the things when something goes, doesn't go quite the way we'd like for it to go with Mad Dads, we always try to sit down and talk about it without degrading you or degrading anybody on the staff. You know,
we all
make mistakes. I think you can say probably since you've been here that nobody's ever, you know, degraded you. You've always, even in your mistakes, we lift you up.
Right.
And see, that's every time.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and finish.
I was saying that, you know, whenever things went bad or we have a misunderstanding, I never had a problem with anyone to come talk to me about it. And one thing that I really appreciate is when you and Sharika, you come in and we have meetings and we talk about stuff because you two know 100% that, you know, I'm a young guy and I never had a job or position that I'm in now. And you know that it's going to take training. And I really appreciate the patience you guys demonstrate with me and others. You know, and it's a great thing. It's like a safety net because you know that you learn, you know, as you go. And I know that you guys notice that I get better in some areas. And when new things come, you guys train me very well. And I appreciate Sharika being there and training me in areas that I need to work on. And I work on them, and I just like to you know, when I present whatever I'm working on and you guys see that I'm using a method that you taught me, it's good to see you guys proud, saying, hey, he's actually listening, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, and so the elevator theory and the elevator principle is a principle that so many of us do not use. So many of us feel like you have to cut somebody down to get them in line. And, he's not doing his job. Well, I know how to straighten him out. I'll threaten him with his job, or I'll threaten him with a future concept of something we're going to change, or I'll make something happen so he'll wish he had acted right. And so we use the threat theory or that hammer theory, which will totally destroy people and take their self-esteem away. And really take the joy of what people do while we're working. I wanted to talk a little bit about what I wanted to chat about for next week. And just real quick, I want to talk about, I don't think we've used this topic yet, which is tobacco and how it affects our community.
Uh-huh.
The Leadership and Advocacy Institute to advance Minnesota's priority population, which is called LAMP, and I'm one of the LAMP fellows, we've been promoting how tobacco has an impact on our community. And so for our listeners, I just want you to think about this. Every year right here in Minnesota, 47,000 blacks die from tobacco, from blunts, cigarettes, snuff, and tobacco products. And we want to try to do something about that. And so on our next show, I want to spend a part of our segment talking about how we can decrease the deaths and incidents of criticalness that happen to our community in terms of tobacco and tobacco-related products. If you smoke, please stop. If you in the car with your kids and you smoke, please stop. There's nothing like a baby inhaling poison. There's over 4,000 chemicals in cigarettes, and we need you to know that those chemicals are damaging our babies and their lungs, and people are dying at a high rate. I want to go back to the elevator theory. Because we want to lift up everybody that listens into our show. Thank our callers for calling in. Thanks, everybody, for came in on the chat room and you folks that came in. This is Mad Dads Blog Talk Radio, and it's my honor and pleasure to be on with our host today. Our co-host didn't call in, Mr. Gil Baggett, but I want to thank Pedro for calling in. And I want you to know that if you really wonder why your relationships don't work, and if you're blaming somebody else and you're saying, I've never had a good relationship because it's the other people, you might want to rethink that. You might want to look at that again and you might want to say to yourself, I may have some issues. I may have some.
Yes.
I may have some character flaws. There may be something about my character that may do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to this. This is something about character. What comes out of your mouth is determined by what goes into your mind. And sometimes you should think about what's going on, what's coming out of my mouth. What am I saying out of my mouth? Am I using the elevator principle? Have I looked at myself in the mirror closely? Have I thought about the things that give me pain? Have I thought about the things that motivate me? And when I talk to people, do I make them feel respected? Relationships are based on so many of those things. And it's really important that we begin to look at our relationships in a way that we can have positive relationships, that we can have relationships that begin to build on the energy of our community and the people around us. I tell you one thing for sure. You show me a kid that gets that is raised up by people that holler and scream and cuss all the time, and I'll show you a kid that doesn't do well in school. You show me a kid that is surrounded by love, music, laughter, fun, excitement, and good, I mean, good loving intervention in terms of good role modeling, and I'll show you a kid that will be successful. You show me a family that lifts up everybody in their family, even when they're having a hard time. They correct them in a way where they know that they're not happy, but they correct them in a way that shows, but you're still valuable. You can still be upset with somebody and still show them value.
Not to cut you off, Vijay. I'm sorry. We just got another call on the line. I believe this is Mr. Gil Baggett on the line, too.
Hey, how you doing, Alex? How you doing there, BJ? Yeah.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Gil?
Yeah, just getting in, you know what I'm saying? You know, taking work, trying to multitask, you know. But but what y'all said was extremely true. You know, being a recently married man, I can tell you from experience that you know that you can be constructive and critical with a person, you know what I'm saying, and still show that person mad love, you know.
Definitely.
And when I'm saying that, I'm just speaking to all those guys out there, you know what I'm saying, we have those relationships with them women and stuff, and we be thinking that we're doing the right thing by them and stuff, but you look up, you know, like you're not talking to them in the right kind of way because you're so used to talking to your guys. You're not touching them in the right way because you're so used to laying up here, you know, being roughnecking and stuff like that there and stuff, you know. But then when you're in a relationship, you got this it's a give and take situation. You know what I'm saying? There's certain behaviors that you got to change, certain behaviors that you guys got to be respectful of and stuff, because those are things that come along with changes, you know.
That's absolutely true.
So by being in a relationship and being out there, it's like the same way out there in the world and stuff, you know. It's that a lot of times and stuff, you know, we have things that we do and we want to do and stuff like that there and stuff, but maybe the things that we want to do are not advantageous to us at the time that we're doing it because we're infringing on somebody else's right to do what they do, you know. So it's the thing about being responsible.
Right, definitely. And I wanted to add on to that by reading this is another excerpt from Mr. John C. Maxwell's book, Winning with People, Discovering the People Principle That Works for You Every Time. This is going back on the hammer principle. And he's talking about tone. And he says, and I quote, "People often respond to our attitudes and actions more than our words. Many petty conflicts occur because people use the wrong tone of voice. The writer of Proverbs stated, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Have you found that to be true? If not, try this experiment. The next time someone says something to you in anger, respond with gentleness and kindness. When you do that, the person who spoke harshly is likely to tone down, if not soften his attitude. Have you guys experienced that? Because I go through that all the time. I know this to be extremely true.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's why, and I learned this in working in organized crime. When I was involved in organized crime, let me say, put this for the record, when I was involved, I'm no longer involved in, I'm in organized religion now, okay? I'm just saying organization. Yeah, and so, but when I was in organized crime, though, one of the things that I learned was if you had a beef with somebody, you always called them and pulled them to the side, and you had a conversation. Nobody ever heard anybody screaming. There was never screaming. There was never hollering or a bunch of cussing. You pull somebody to the side and say, dude, this is foul. What are we going to do about this? And you let them go. That was it. And I learned that was a good thing because you begin to do that in everything you did. When you talk to your kids, you pull them aside. You didn't scream in front of the other kids. You didn't disrespect folks. Because in our community, and Gil, you can witness to this, in our community, we don't care really what you say to us. It's where you say it and how you say it and who you say it in front of. Because if I pull you and say something to you in front of your boys, you're going to say, look, man, I'm going to bust a cap in him because that was wrong. But if you pull me to the side and correct me for something I knew was wrong, but if you did it in privately and it was just me and you, I might do the opposite. Instead of shooting you, I might apologize.
That's right.
It's important for us to know that the way you say something to people, how you say it, and when you say it is so critical in a relationship. Like Gil was saying, he's married now. He would not go to his wife's job and scream out, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why? In front of all them people. Because then her reaction is going to be, you don't run nothing. You ain't nobody. You know, and he don't want that. And she doesn't want that. So they wait till they get in the car and they have a talk. Ain't nobody screaming. Ain't nobody hollering. It's respectful. And they get the situation resolved.
Yeah, I've actually witnessed that. Go ahead, Gil. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say on the bus is the same way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, under the tutelage of V.J. Smith, the Mad Dad members that are the security on the buses, you know, that's the same philosophy, you know what I'm saying, and training they exhibit when they're on the bus. Because, like, a lot of times, you know, you got a lot of people come, they're getting off work, they're getting out of school. They come from various, you know, all type of walks of life and stuff, saying in various situations and stuff, they might not have any control of. So when they get on the bus and stuff, you're saying, they're, like, a little bit irritable, you know what I'm saying? They're a little bit, you know, like, uptight and stuff. And, you know, you might, if you approach him and stuff, even if you're just coming up there with the resource board and you're trying to help him and stuff, you know what I'm saying? But if you don't approach him with the right type of greeting, they subject to lay up, you know what I'm saying, and snap on him. You know what I'm saying? So you got that you're non-threatening, you know what I'm saying, that you're a little bit of, you know, amusing, and then when you lay up in, you do approach them and stuff. You're saying you tell them what you have, and you present the board in front of them. Then they're more apt to lay up here and listen and be receptive to what you have to say. So
that's
it's like you say, it's about the tone that you use. You know what I'm saying? The situation saying dictates the tone that you use. You know what I'm saying? And if you see them, in an agitated state. You might have to step back for a minute, you know what I'm saying, and then allow them to see that you are non-threatening before you make your approach. So it is. It's all about the timing. It's all about, you know what I'm saying, your willingness to lay up here and get a little in front of other people and stuff and saying, let them see that, hey, man, you know, I'm respecting you. I'm respecting whatever situation that you're in right now, you know what I'm saying, so that I can lay up here and, you know, do something for you.
Definitely. Definitely. One thing that I can say as far as witnessing Gil and Lanita, I've actually been in the car with you guys where you guys will have a disagreement, but it would never last too long because you two will work it out, and it always ended with one of you two laughing, and it's always a great thing to see because I don't see that at home personally. you know, at home, when there's a disagreement, it's going to be a fight. And it's a hard thing, you know, to swallow, to see that every time. And, you know, it's a sad thing that I have to get used to it. You know what I mean?
Amen.
But it is what it is, you know what I mean? But I know that when I have my relationship, and I just got involved, you know, in a relationship with a young lady, and I know one thing that before I did anything.
Oh, yeah, what's her name? What's her name? Huh?
Well, we're not in that step yet. We're
still not public?
Trying.
It's not public
we're
yet.
Still, no, it's not public or anything like that. I don't want to embarrass her because she may be listening. But
that's
we
a
are friends. But we are friends. But we are friends. And what we
are
doing.
Are you respecting those boundaries?
We are respecting boundaries, and we are good friends right now.
Okay.
And and what we're doing now is we're friends first before we start anything. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And that's that preparation because, you know, that's that preparation because if we don't know who we are as good friends to each other, then we wouldn't know how to go about a relationship.
There you go.
You know what I mean? And too many times. You know, too many times, you know, especially in the past, we might have jumped in a relationship and, you know, we don't know anything about this person, but we try to do everything with this person. And that's a big no, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. You know,
and so what we're doing now is we're good friends now, and we're going to stay a good friend, you know, and I think God, when he is ready for us to really you know, really have what he has for us as far as what, you know, as two people in Christ, you know, then he will have that happen, you know, and we got to have that trust with him and we got to have that patience with him first, you know, that's the first thing. I definitely want to thank you two for calling in for the show. I want to thank everybody who's listening. We have 2 minutes remaining, so this is our time where we're going to pray. I'm going to close out the chat line. And if you want to pray out with us, you can just stay right there on your page and pray out with us. But if Gil, would you like to pray out for us?
Yes, I would.
All right.
God, we just want to just thank you, Father God, for first waking us up this morning, Father God. And Father God, we just want to just ask you to continue to lay up here and put this wedge of protection around Minneapolis, Father God. Touch the souls, touch the hearts, touch the minds, Father God. Touch the hearts of all those, Father God, that are reaching out and looking for answers today, Father God. Father God, we just want to ask you to just bless our families, our children, Father God. Bless our vehicles, Father God. We come to and fro this season, Father God. Father God, we just want to just thank you for allowing us to have such a beautiful and violence-free Thanksgiving, Father God. Father God, we just ask you to continue to lay up here and spread your love, mercy, Father God, around the city of Minneapolis, Father God, and around the world today, Father God. We ask you to touch the heart of our leaders today, Father God. And Father God, we just want to continue to praise you, Father God, give you all the praise because you are worthy, Father God. You are worthy of all our praises, Father God. We just want to say thank you for putting a smile in our hearts today, Father God. And we want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I definitely want people to call in next Tuesday if you like this show and what we were talking about today. Please just join. That's our cue. I hate that thing. just join us next week. Next Tuesday, 1 o'clock here on blogtalkradio.com/maddads. And join in on our conversation, you know, have in your two cents. You know, because we definitely want to hear from you, and we want to hear feedback, how you like the show. And if you have any shows idea, you can go to our website, MinneapolisMadDads.org, and you can probably email and give us show ideas. And if you are head of an organization and you might want to get on the show, you can definitely go on our website again, MinneapolisMadDads.org, and leave us your information, and we can get you started, and we can get you to get on our show and talk about things that we can work on together. But God bless you all. I thank you all for listening. I thank people coming on the chat room. I thank VJ Smith, Gil Baggett from Mad Dads for calling in, and God bless you, and have a great holiday.
God bless you.